Okay.
Number. Bird. Bitch.
My chair.
Sarah,
how are you?
Oh, you know, it's
still waiting for my meeting.
You need to set the meeting.
Whenever you're ready.
It is now 3:30. Calling this meeting to order. Roll call.
And before you go to roll call, just an FYI, Lara, we're expecting to join virtually. And she's doing the meeting downtown, and Diana's also dealing with Naughty and I, so.
Good luck.
Patience.
Okay. All right, so roll call, Manone.
Here.
Darren. Robin.
Here.
Becky.
I'm here.
Antonio. And Maurice.
Here.
Thank you.
I don't think my mom said anything.
Yeah, she did.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Good.
So we have fun. So with the approval of the minutes, I know there were some corrections. So Manon, you had one correction.
That Robin wasn't included as being present.
Okay.
She was there.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just going to make notes on here, and I'll let Diana correct the official notes.
Okay, and my correction was that when I had the cleanup, it was from 12th Avenue to Missiondale, not to Mission.
All right. That was a DDD machine.
So we'll add that, make that correction in the minutes.
Right. So with those two corrections, do I have a motion to accept the minutes as corrected?
Yes, I support the motion.
The second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, at this time we have called to the audience. Any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations. Pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. We have Cecil from Amphi Neighborhood Association.
Cecile. Oh, that's fine. I answer to anything. All right. Hello, everybody. So I'm the vice president of the NFI Neighborhood Association. My name is Cecile, and I want to talk about the May 31st NFI pool party hosted by Ward 3. Its outcome and implications. There's not enough time to go over all the data that we gathered, but the most important points are that over 100 people from 58 different families showed up, which was a huge success for a pool that otherwise sees very little use. The only advertising efforts by the city that I'm aware of were announcements in the Ward 3 newsletter and an email to other neighborhood association boards. Per our survey at the party, those methods yielded 0 attendees. 85% of guests came because of either a paid Facebook ad that we published, neighborhood canvas that we did, or a digital flyer we got the NFI school district to distribute and that we sent to our listserv. We did that. It was exhausting and frustrating and not our job. Almost everyone I spoke to while canvassing had no idea that NFI even has a public pool. The success of the party, though, clearly shows that the issue is a lack of interest. It's a lack of information and opportunity. And that could be remedied. Instead, the response to low pool attendance over the years has been to cut swim hours down to bare bones. So it's even harder now for people to make it work for their schedule. Behold, the weekly swim hours for all of the pools in Tucson. That's NFI right here. MFI right here. Yeah, so, and that's without mentioning that some pools are year-round, and MFI gets open swim hours for less than 9 weeks a year. Oh, and the pool has no shallow end and no swim lessons, so it's not even kid-friendly or non-swimmer-friendly when we have one of the poorest, youngest, and most diverse neighborhoods in Tucson. So instead of identifying barriers to attendance and taking appropriate measures to help our underprivileged community make the most of its virtually non-existent recreational amenities, it appears that taking them away is a much easier answer. This highlights not just incredible disparities in terms of recreation options in Tucson, but also the indifference of that our neighborhood struggles and pleas are met with. Further to that point, I emailed Parks and Rec a full report 2 days after the party over 3 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting for an acknowledgement. So even when we do the legwork, we get ignored. That applies to NFI Pool, and it applies to NFI Park. So I sincerely hope we will hear encouraging news about the park situation today, because the stakes are high for our community to the point where we have refugee status teenage girls from Afghanistan going door to door with a petition to save the park. We need that communal space. Kids need a place to play. Recreational spaces and parks are critical to a community's wellness, and our neighborhood is unwell. We deserve better. The people of NFI matter. We have practically nothing, and we're worthy of more.
Okay, you gotta wrap
up. We're not going to let any of this go. Thank you for your time.
Anybody online?
We can. Do you have a question for Greg?
3 minutes. Where's MFI?
MFI Pool is at MFI High School on Stone Avenue. Oh, yeah.
Stone and Yavapai. Yavapai. So Prince, like Stone and Prince area.
Stone and Prince area.
Mm-hmm. Kind of between Oracle, Stone, Prince.
And the pool there is just a pool?
I mean, the pool is in the high school. It's the pool owned by the high school.
So this isn't an agenda item, so we really can't discuss it. If you want to place it on next month's agenda to discuss, that would be the proper way to do it.
Is it part of Parks and Rec? Is the swimming pool part? It is.
Yes.
Can we put it on the agenda for next month?
You can, at that time, you can. Yeah. So next on the agenda is our proposal to name Morris K. Udall Baseball Field Number 3 to Chase, I don't know if there's less than field.
Right hour.
Okay. So this is 10 minutes. By who's presenting?
I don't know that we actually had a presentation prepared for this other than the naming proposal came to Parks and Recreation. We've gone through the public engagement process. The comments that we received, which I've got showing here, I believe you received with the meeting materials. It showed 61 total comments, 7 of them opposed, 54 in favor. I went through them. Of the opposed, most of them were opposed to naming the whole park after Chase Reddower. So I think they maybe misread the materials because they're just requesting to name a field after Chase.
Are there any comments from Robin or Anon?
No comments from me. I picked up exactly what Greg is saying, that it was just the field. And I think people had a thought that it was the park. So.
Do you have any questions about it?
Yes. Okay. I don't know what Chase Reddower is, but, you know, if that many people are indebted to him for one reason or another, and only is for football field number 3, baseball field number 3, I have no problem with it. So works for me.
So the process.
You need a motion.
Yeah, so your recommendation then would go to mayor and council, and then we would take the mayor and council. The first time that can happen is in August. The family's aware of that. They're trying to have this done by September for their fall season, so that's kind of the schedule.
So I have a motion to accept this proposal?
I'll present a motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Manon. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. And send this on to Mayor and Council.
We will put on Mayor and Council in August.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tucson Parks and Rec Awards. Oh, my gosh. Is that time already? Is it time?
So we were joking before this that we're not sure why that's on the agenda and Diana's not here. So we can just ask that it get moved to next month if it needs to be on the agenda at all.
Can we move it to next month?
That's fine with me.
Unless one of you knows something about the awards.
I don't have to. Do you know anything? So on the agenda, we have Amphi Neighborhood Park discussion. So it's on the agenda for discussion.
Yep, for the parks. So last month there was a question to the commission about the status of the park. The history of it is we were meeting with the church since probably 2 years ago. We had a long-term lease with the church that had expired. We had continued to operate it as a park. We tried to renew the lease, which the church opted not to do. We told them we'd be interested in buying the park piece of the property, which we had no response. So in October, we sent them a letter and said, hey, on October 31st, if we don't have a lease in place, we are going to no longer operate as a park because we have no authority to operate as a park. And we got no response. So on October 31st, we pulled all the park materials out of there, took the sign down, quit operating as a park. Since that time, I would say 2 or 3 months ago, we've heard rumors that the church is interested in selling the property and was putting it on the market. We checked. It was not on the market at that time. We have since reached out to the real estate representative for the church. What they are doing is doing what's called a parcel separation. Right now, the church and the park are all one parcel, so they are separating some portion of that. I don't know what. They are separating some portion of that that they would then consider selling. So we have contacted them again and said, hey, we are interested in acquiring the park parcel, depending on what that looks like when they're done separating it. We don't have that information yet. The typical process when we want to acquire a property is we would get it appraised. We would present that appraisal to the other organization. They can either accept it, they can negotiate it, or a lot of times they'll get their own appraisal, and then we can negotiate. But that process has not started yet because we haven't seen what the part is that they're separating, what it incorporates. So we don't have anything to appraise at this point. But we have met with them again. Our real estate department has reached out to them again and expressed that we have an interest in buying the parcel. We can actually use impact fees to acquire it. We got confirmation from the attorney's office because you can use impact fees to acquire parkland. But we wanted to clarify, since it had previously been used as parkland, can we still use impact fees? And they said, absolutely. It's not our land, so we can acquire it as our land for park purposes, even though we've leased it as a park in the past. So if the church is willing to sell it, we would look at using impact fees to acquire the property.
Question? How many square feet is the piece?
The previous park piece was, I don't know the square footage, Maurice. It was probably 2 acres, maybe a little under 2 acres. It's a fairly good sized parcel.
What's the address?
I don't know the street address off the top of my head.
The general location was amphitheater.
I'm going to let the ladies from the community probably tell you exactly where it's at.
It's a block west of First Avenue and a block north of Fort Lowell, roughly.
It's Fort Lowell First Avenue, and it's 2 acres?
Yeah.
It's in the backyard of the Catholic diocese, yeah, on Fort Lowell.
Sacred Heart Church.
Oh.
Sacred Heart's on Fort Lowell, and it's a property directly behind it. It's up all part of the church.
Oh, it's First and Fort Lowell, so where's around there?
Yeah.
It's not going to be cheap for 2 acres. You realize that?
Yes.
In that location, probably looking at a couple of $1 million.
I'm not a real estate expert, but I suspect a lot of that will be contingent upon what its zoning is. So there will be zoning restrictions on what it could be used for. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, if the diocese is looking for rezoning, which is obviously what they're doing right now, okay, they're going to want to make it either commercial or residential, which is going to be totally different from parks. Okay, so why I'm bringing up, you know, that kind of figure. So I don't know whether, you know, considering the amount of money, you know, is missing from our budget and is going to be missing, we would want to get involved in something like this. Just a, you know, question mark here.
Manon? Did you have a question, Manon?
I do. Greg, you said you guys just were sending information. You were trying to talk with them and no one was getting back to you. Do you have someone that you are actually speaking with now that is talking with you about this, a contact?
Or yeah, our real estate person is now working directly with, it's the Roman Catholic Church's real estate person who does it for all of the churches in the Tucson area. So, yes, that person has been responding back to our real estate folks.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do think it's important that we try because that neighborhood does need its, you know, the little park space it does have.
I will say that once we quit operating as a park, we did look, because it's, you know, kind of a square mile how most of Tucson's laid out. There is very little, if any, vacant land in that square mile. So if we don't get that property, there's very little other spaces in that square mile footprint that we can get. It's just developed. There's no other green space in that area.
Well, try and see what happens. Maybe it's very valuable property.
And last week we had several people speaking on the issue of that park as well.
Right.
There is concern from the community already.
Yes, they've been communicating with me via email, and so I've asked them every month just email me for an update, and I keep pinging real estate services, so we're trying to keep them in the loop as we work through this.
There's no IGA between Ambite School and Parks for using their playground as a park?
We have a IGA at the high school, but there's no playground at the high school, and it wouldn't be relatively close to this area at all. I mean, we kind of use the 10-minute walking methodology when we're looking at where we try to locate parks. And for the most part, that's kind of a square mile. If you have a park in that square mile, that's within a 10 to 15-minute walk. There's not many opportunities in that square mile other than this parcel. There are some across other major intersections, but then that becomes a barrier for, you know, kids trying to get to it. So we try to keep them within that square mile and not have to cross a major intersection.
Get it back on.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Comments?
Yes.
Robin.
I just really want to support that. I absolutely agree with what Greg is saying. There's not much around there, open space. Never, not to mention, I think it was in 2001 where the neighborhood, Amphi neighborhood, received neighborhood reinvestment funds that were a resource for developing that area, that park. So there's already been large investments in that, and I certainly hope that those were not for nothing. Not to mention that the ball field had been dedicated for Gilbert Nagore, and I didn't even know that the park was not, that the lease had been up. So that's good to know. And so I fully support and really hope that this is something that we recognize as a high priority.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would say we have told our real estate services once that partial separation is complete to then get it appraised so that we know what we're dealing with. So our real estate knows it's a priority for us to try to acquire it.
So it's an ongoing process. Thank you. Tree planting planning discussion. Robin and Manon, you had requested this.
to be on the agenda regarding the tree mapping, tree planting.
Yeah, we did have a commissioner from another commission, the Sustainability Commission, who was concerned about tree placement and the types of trees that were placed where in the park in her neighborhood. And she had some generally good ideas about having, you know, really looking towards the people who lived around the park and knowing how that park was used and what trees would probably be the most appropriate, and having the parks reach out for that. So maybe like some kind of sticky board or something where you could move trees and what kinds of trees. You needed a shade tree in one area, or if you needed more scrub trees in another area, because, you know, there was a lot of money put into that project. And what, you know, from her perspective, which I respect, it was not done as well as it could have been. And so, you know, just doing this in a way where we get the most out of the money that we are putting into places and the parks are as nice as they can be does make sense to me. And as somebody who's been on the edge of parks for a long time and often wished if I was asked if something was going to be very appropriate, which is why I made an effort to be here on this commission. I think it's a good idea. I mean, I know that we don't always have a lot of control about what trees are available, when and where, but if there is a problem, it would be nice if there could be a community person around the park that could be tagged as someone who you could reach out to, and they could get some feedback from their community members and bring it back to you. I know it's an extra step, but it could really make a difference for everyone.
Thank you. Any feedback on that?
Actually, Jasmine was going to talk on that subject, but I know what she told me is that a lot of times this project was actually run by Tucson Clean and Beautiful, so I hear what Manon's saying. I think we probably need to reach out to Tucson Clean and Beautiful and have that discussion, because they do a lot of the neighborhood tree planting projects. We also work very closely with the city's urban forester. She reviews every plan for every project that we're doing, and she makes suggestions on tree plantings as well. So I think it's trying to balance professionals and neighbors and getting feedback back from all of them and implement what makes sense.
Do they ever have group meetings with TCB, the neighborhood, and the Irina Kaga?
I don't know what TCB's, Tucson Clean and Beautiful's process is. So we will have to look at that.
Or maybe we can ask them to come.
It might be reasonable to reach out to Katie Brown as well and get a little further idea of what she saw as the problems that weren't being addressed. And I'm sure she'd be willing to explain it a little bit more thoroughly.
Yeah, she emailed me.
That's good.
Great.
Are we good? Yeah. And on? We good?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Robin, your hand's still up. Can you drop it?
You have a question, Robin?
Do you have a question?
Okay. Okay, next on the agenda is the Himmel Park irrigation discussion. Manon, you requested this as well.
I think that whether... I know irrigation's a big thing, but, you know, we have this bocce ball court that's getting a lot more use these days. There's a lot of people playing bocce ball, off court as well in Himmel on Saturdays. I don't know. They just need some water. And I don't know if it's possible to, I mean, it would be nice to have a water fountain on that side of the park. I know water fountains are very expensive. There really aren't any water fountains anywhere close. There's one over by the library, and the library is going to also be closed pretty shortly. We've had problems with water fountains in the center of the park not working for long periods of time. So I don't know if it's a possibility. I'd love to hear if it was. And if it isn't, is there any other way that on a Saturday morning when these folks are playing that every once in a while they could come and bring some water on a truck and they would do the rest of the work? I know that they offered to do everything. They just need some water and they can't carry it themselves.
I don't know that we have a complete answer, but I know Adrian Vermeule has done some homework on this, so I'll let him provide what he's found out so far.
Yeah, so we do have a water fountain on the, if I'm not mistaken, it's the south end of the park by the baseball backstop that's over there.
Between the two soccer fields?
Yeah, it's quite a distance away from the bocce ball court, which it can be pretty costly to get. Potable water run to the bocce ball. We can't put a spigot there if it's not potable water. We only use the reclaim in the park for the turf area. So we're still looking at some options and evaluating what it is that we can do. We're not 100% there yet. Still working with our irrigator to see what some more options are. So as we get more options, we'll touch base with the bocce ball individual who reached out initially and go from there.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
The one option that Adrian's looking into is like this what's called a quick neck, like we do on athletic fields, but so you can't drink out of a quick neck, so we could do that with our reclaimed line.
Yep.
That would at least allow them to get water on the bocce ball court, which I think is what they were trying to accomplish. That's probably easier to do with the reclaimed than trying to run potable. That whole distance is going to be very expensive.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think they were just trying to say, hey, everybody would enjoy some water there, but at the very least, you know, we need, we've got this great court and we just need water to pack it down. So yeah, thank you for doing that.
We got more homework to do, but we'll keep you in the loop.
Okay. So next on the agenda was a history on the parks. Mechanism to collect, receive information, and try to be able to tie in some history with the park name.
I don't know what this agenda item was trying to accomplish, other than I know we've had a request about get more historical information on parks that are named after particular people, Jesse Owens Park, for example. I don't know that we've figured that out yet.
I think Sierra was working on some sign designs with the QR code, you know, or giving so many spaces on the signs to provide some kind of initial information, and then here's where to go for additional information. But Sierra's not here this week, so we'll probably have to table that agenda item.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. I do think it was more about, like, the parks that do have a lot of history, and QR codes are a great way to get more information than photos so that people can see them. You know, Reed Park, and I know that another commissioner was interested in that as well. So thank you. Maybe we can just table this one.
Right. Oh, budget update discussion.
Moving right along.
So the budget update, I think, was that your question?
I think Lara thought this was about but the potential of having a subcommittee looking into, I think that's what
this is about.
Yeah.
I think so. And
okay. Well, I understand that I was named on that committee, even though I wasn't here the last time, and I appreciate that.
This is what happens when you don't show up.
this is fine. This is perfect. Okay. I really appreciate that. And, I've been thinking about a couple of things since I was home with COVID for a while, for a few weeks. So that gave me a lot of time for, you know, using my noodles and come up with something. So I came up with a couple of things. First thing is that I got a request from Arizona Parks and Recreation Association, which connected me, okay, with a company called, wait a minute, it's called National Fitness Campaign, okay, which has $400,000 available for grants for Arizona. And I did mention that, you know, we may be interested in participating. Okay. And they did send, they mentioned to me that they'd like to organize a group meeting, okay, since we now have a budget subcommittee, okay, I would think that everybody on that subcommittee should be involved in that Zoom meeting with those people. They're in San Francisco and Los Angeles. And again, like I said, I have $400,000 to invest, you know, in Arizona. So I do have a link, okay, if you want it, okay, if I could send it to you or Diana or whoever, okay. They're looking to have a meeting by Friday, okay, a Zoom meeting. And again, I'd like Manuel and the other fellow on the budget committee to attend, okay. Before we go anywhere, I want to know, you know, are we stepping on anybody's toes? Okay, is this okay with the Parks and Rec for us to get involved into this particular issue? We're not signing anything right now. We are basically getting information. Okay. And, again, like I said, is there a conflict of interest? Should we, you know, something we probably don't want to think about? So anyway, there was one brainstorm with me. I was home for a long time with COVID, so I had a lot of ideas besides that. Okay. Another idea is, you know, this is this is the 22nd century, and there's such a thing as GoFundMe. Okay. So, we all know what happened with Proposition 417. Okay. And, you know, there was no plan B, obviously. So that was short money. Okay. I was reading the minutes from last month, which I was not able to attend. And I see that, you know, the director mentioned that, you know, the city of Tucson, I cut out all budgets for Ready, Set, Rec. Okay. And if you look at the documentation that we were given by Diana this time, okay, and you look at the activities of Ready, Set, Rec, there's quite a bit, okay. Ready, Set, Rec, Julissa Galindo, Recreation Supervisor. I assume during the month of May, you know, there was a whole bunch of things done with this, which obviously is not going to happen anymore. So we do have some serious budget issues. Not only that, but we're only into the 6 month of this administration, and it looks like we're going to get more budget issues as we're going along. So I'm thinking here, you know, all out, you know, fundraising projects. And I think GoFundMe is one way to get money. Yes, you have to give a commission to GoFundMe. And again, like I say, you know, we're going to want Parks and Rec to tell us, is it okay, you know, to advertise GoFundMe for Parks and Recs? Okay. Or yeah, do we have conflict of interest? Then I went a little further and, you know, GoFundMe basically is something that you see on the internet. Okay, you're looking at your Facebook, you know, account, and somebody has a GoFundMe. Or, you know, I want to buy a puppy, and I need $10,000. Okay, so you know, I'm looking at our marketing report here, and what do I see? At this minute, okay, that's why I burned my computer today because it was too much to remember. So I figure I'm not going to use my memory, but I'm going to go by figures here. And what do I see? In 1 second. Okay. Okay, I see that if we go to our marketing program, okay. Marketing reports, met 2025, okay. We had 18,000 each on Facebook, 2,700 Twitter or X, whatever it's called, almost 17,000 on Instagram, YouTube at 2,200 hits, okay. And then I started thinking, okay, so now we could go two different ways. We could go not only, okay, putting some GoFundMe pages on those particular websites that we're already running. It's not like we have to invest anything, not a penny. Okay. Just, you know, do a GoFundMe on each one of those websites. Okay. On top of that, I'm thinking, you know, we were just talking about the history of the parks and the QR codes, you know, with the history and all that. I think this is an excellent idea. Okay. Why don't we have some QR codes? Okay. On little panels. Okay. Everywhere in every park that says something like, love our parks. And the QR code, please help. That's it. Okay. I'm sure, you know, people would think twice about it. And, you know, this is a QR code generation over here. You know, everybody uses their QR code. Okay, so a dollar over here, a dollar over there. When they go to take the kids, you know, to the pool, or when they go to walk the dogs, before you know it, you know, we start talking about real money. Okay. So, that was my other, you know, brainstorm over here. I remember in the past I mentioned, you know, using the band trail here as Reed Park for the actual paying fundraising, you know, efforts, you know, partnering maybe with some concert, you know, promoters or something like this. And I think we should continue, okay, investigating into that. Folks, this is not a drill, okay? We're not going to have money, okay? The budget is going to go down the drain, okay? They're going to try to terminate as much funding as possible. We got to do something, okay? We can't just forget about it, okay? Everybody's got jobs here that, you know, I'm sure they, you know, they love, okay? And you know, this is what's on the line, okay? So we got to do something. We're going to be really proactive when it comes to raising money. So anyway, those were, you know, a few of the brainstorms that I had while I was home with the COVID. Now,
Manon's got a hand up, and Laura has joined us. So
okay. I just want to say one more thing, and then I'll, you know, hand it over. Okay, I was, you know, elected to join the subcommittee, and I'm very happy. Okay, we have to form, start a discipline. When are we going to meet? Where are we going to meet? Are we going to do some Zoom meetings, which would be, you know, easier for everybody? Okay, is somebody from Parks and Rec going to be sitting on our meeting with us? And
Maurice, this has been addressed, and I'm going to go ahead and cut in here. Greg, I sent an email to Diana asking her to send to all of the commissioners what she read out loud from the city clerk's office, and we haven't received that yet, and I think that would have answered a few of Maurice's questions. I would like that to happen. If we could get that going more quickly, that would be great. And I also just wanted to know how many commissioners can we have? Can we talk to each other privately about the subject matter that we're going to be using? If there are three of us, Greg, do you know?
I don't know the rules on. Yeah, I think it might be helpful to have the clerk's office come do an open meeting law review, which would help answer that question. But I don't always remember what the rules are on that.
We need to be able to define our framework.
So,
from a subcommittee perspective, yes, you need to have a staff person who is sending the agenda to the clerk's office, taking the minutes. The minutes have to go to the clerk's office. So it's the same process as far as scheduling meetings and having meetings as any other commission meeting. Subcommittees, this is the exact same thing. They just then report their materials and findings to the clerk commission. But yeah, I can find out what she read last time, Manona. We can have this sent back out to everybody.
And Diana's sick right now, so that's probably why she didn't respond. So, Laura, did you have something to say?
No, I just put in the chat, I think Greg's idea of having the clerk's office give us some better guidance, since we've never had a subcommittee before, would be the best way to do it, because the back and forth emails may not be the most effective.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can attend the meeting.
Yeah, I asked Diana to send us all the information that she had from the city clerk's office, so we could have that on hand. Because it's hard to remember. So whenever that could be sent, would be awesome. And thanks.
And, you know, I want to second Manny mentioning that, you know, time is of the essence. Okay. Again, like I said, before you know it, we're not going to have a penny coming from DC. Sooner than later, we need to be prepared. Okay. And that means we need to get going now. Okay. So, you know, we need to get together, like I said, get the ball rolling. What I mentioned are, you know, low-cost initiatives, okay, that could be done fairly easily. We have everything on hand, okay. Let's do it, okay. As far as $400,000, it's a company called, I think what it's called, I think I mentioned to you before, it's called the
National Fitness Campaign.
Right, and, you know, they were recommended by Arizona Parks and Recreation Association, so they hopefully not fly by night. They want to get together with us, you know, on a Zoom meeting. Okay. They have a whole presentation to give. I don't know what they want back in exchange, but we'll find out. But, you know, $400,000, I don't know if we get the whole thing. Even if we get $10,000 out of it, you know, it'll pay for, you know, a couple of hours of work, you know, for Parks and Recs. And this is how we're going to take it. Okay. We're just going to bring the cash right now. So.
I don't know if they've changed their model. We met with them back in 2020. Yes, they did offer $400,000. So what they did was for every $30,000 they would contribute, you had to put in $60,000 to get a $90,000 project. So that's how their business model. And that was 2020. It may have changed since then, but we've met with them. Going back to the memo we prepared for mayor and council, and then we opted to COVID hit and we stopped.
So we know that they're not fly-by-nights.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time, but it's not free money. You got to, at that point, it was, you had to contribute $60,000 for every $30,000 they would contribute.
Well, you know, if we started a fundraising program.
Okay. Well, that was to buy their fitness equipment. So you're not just using it for anything. It's to buy their fitness equipment that they sell. Right.
And if I may, at the time, the business services director, when he analyzed the program, he called it a sale lead. So basically it was funding that they've figured out how they could still sell their equipment, but then give us the grant, but guarantee the sale of their equipment. And so we also ran into some procurement challenges on whether it could be considered sole source, because there's multiple companies out there that sell fitness equipment. And then when I did a further dive, I reached out to some cities that had worked with them and got not the best favorable response on how the equipment was received by the community. So Greg's right. We went through almost a year of looking through and figuring out what we should do. And but I love where your thought is, Maurice. I definitely think it's, you know, you're coming at it from the best possible place. But some of these promotions, they don't always come without a lot of strings attached.
You know, again, like I said, this was, you know, at the house with COVID, okay. You know, my internet connection was very bad, but I figured, you know, let me get the ball rolling. And I still think that, you know, GoFundMe, you know, backed up with QR codes all over the parks, that we could do, okay, if we're allowed to do it, if we don't have a conflict of interest. And, you know, this is immediate income. And again, like I said, you know, before you know it, it could turn to real money. So, like I said, there's various things that we can do. Let's do it. You know.
So, I've written down your recommendation, and we'll ask the question.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you. Next, we have congregate.
Madonna's hand's still up.
Madonna, your hand's still up.
Sorry about that. Continue.
Okay. Thank you. The congregate meal program, Team Council on Aging. Discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know Robin came out to one of our call, the mayor and council call to the audience about this item, but essentially PCOA gave us a very short notice that they lost funding from the state. $3 million is what they cited. And so because of that, they had to reduce the number of locations that they would be providing congregate meals to. Which for us at that time, it was interesting when they met with us, they basically told us El Rio, Donna Liggins, and adjusting the way that they deliver their program at Armory, but they would be remaining at Freedom and Clemens, but they were also funding Catholic Services, which was providing meals at Quincy Douglas and El Pueblo. So we had a very small window of time to respond. Unfortunately, their news came right when the city manager and the mayor and council were adopting the upcoming fiscal year budget. So essentially gave us not a lot of time to figure out pivots or planning. But it's not all bad news. Ward 5, the new council member Perez, as well as council member Dahl, have identified funding and are supporting meals to continue. At Donna Liggins, it's a commitment for 1 year for the existing participants in the program. And then at Quincy Douglas, it is meals through Mobile Meals, I believe is the name of the company. We've been talking to a number of companies, so I get a little confused. But at Quincy Douglas, it'll be meals through the end of August that he has committed to sponsor. And so all of that is being stood up to commence on Monday. And then I was informed today that some of the participants from El Rio through the continuation of the program at Armory, we're going to be able to transport some of those folks over from El Rio so they still get access to meals at Armory. And El Pueblo, PCUA provided some alternate resources, one of their programs that's not far from that location where folks could go to. So that is a quick synopsis of kind of what we've been navigating through the last 30 days in terms of response to what we were told, so that you have better context. The PCOA program was a reimbursement program. We were a site that they were reimbursing us for the delivery or the serving of those meals at our location. The general fund for the Parks and Recs Department did not have anything that was really funded directly other than our in-kind services and our staffing. And I'm still trying to navigate out with the loss of the reimbursement of the full-time staff, what that final ultimate impact is going to be on the department. So just wanted to let you know kind of where we were, which to a certain extent we're not as bad as we were at the very beginning because we're able to keep the meal program going at Donna Liggins and for a short period of time at Quincy.
Thanks.
Hello.
Thank you.
Robin. Thank you. I have a lot to say. We're not okay. That money is not sustainable. I'd like to speak to the commissioners. I'd like to give you an understanding of this funding, this federal funding. It does come through the state. But the congregate meal programs are under the Older Americans Act, under Title III, number 1 and 2, which are for congregate and home-delivered meals. The Older Americans Act was enacted in 1965 in recognition of the importance of nutrition for older Americans. I believe it was 1972 that Title III, 1 and 2 were added. The importance of the congregate meal program, and I want to say I want to honor Peg Weber. She wrote the first grant, the first RFP for the city of Tucson, and that was at Armory. We were sent in 8 sites. Under my administering that grant and submitting that RFP for over 25 years, we added Clements and Freedom. I know this grant like I know the back of my hand. I'm not buying this at all, and not with City of Tucson. This has nothing to do with city funding. However, the City of Tucson is a provider, and this is what I wanted to talk to Mayor and Council about. However, as it turns out, that 3 minutes during call to audience, if any of you have ever done that, goes very fast. So actually, thank you, Laura. Thank you for adding this onto the agenda. I might not have the opportunity to speak to this. Those sites not only provide 1/3 of the daily nutrition requirements, the meals have to be approved by a nutritionist. This is not just donations of food and putting meals together. They have been, Armory has always prepared their own meals. The other sites has contracted through Catholic Social Services and through a site that is now run by the food bank. The nutrition is one very important part because it is one third of the daily requirements. And for a lot of the seniors, this is the only meal that they get. And I'm not over exaggerating that. The other even more important piece to that is the socialization in your own community. Now, when isolation, loneliness has been declared a national health problem concern, the fact that this program was pulled in 2 weeks' time after 40 years makes my skin crawl. The way that this is done has been unprecedented. We've come into these situations before where we've submitted our RFP. The state had comes out with a letter if funding has been cut. And in many years past, PCOA, Marion Lupu, may she rest in peace, because that's what I always say, WWMLD, what would Marion Lupu do? And she would get a bus. And stakeholders would get on that bus, and we go up to the state building, and we go to the governor's office, and we would fight until those monies were figured out. So there was none of that. There was no rallying. There was no, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm at this mayor and council meeting. Programs have been stopped. Nutrition programs have been stopped for older adults in our community, and there's nobody there to speak about it. And then I'm thinking, how could that be? And then what I know that Parks and Rec staff were told that when Parks and Rec leadership came into sites, that these programs cost between $18 and $21 per meal. Any reasonable person would say, well, that's ridiculous. I understand. If the cost is that high, any reasonable person would say that we can't, we have to do something different. There is no way that these meals cost $18 to $21 a unit. So first of all, you give the cash cost. You don't give the cost of in-kind. So in other words, when people are being told, being sold a bill that these meals cost $18 to $21, they're including the cost of city sites. That's not included. That's in-kind. They're including all in-kind costs. So first and foremost, I'm asking that that stop, because that's dishonest. That's not true. These meals, and I don't know, I would love to look at what was submitted. I'd love to look at the RFP that was submitted. I'd love to see the bottom line. I'm going to ask for this to be on the agenda next month, too, and that we can go over that. Difference, obviously, the more meals you serve at a site, the cost of the meals are going to come down. I understand employee-related costs are way up. Health insurance, everything brings the cost of these up. But I cannot, and if somebody can tell me, yes, Robin, it really does cost $21 per unit, I'm done. But I don't believe that for a minute. So I would like to, as a provider, the city of Tucson has every right to know where every penny of that Title III, Part 1 and 2, congregate and home-delivered meals, is being spent. I understand that funds were rolled back from COVID, But that just means we should go back to existing funding, which still funded 8 sites. So even with that money rolled back, because that's another thing I'm hearing, all that money that was coming in from COVID is gone. Okay, go back to pre-existing staffing. I don't think there was any additional staffing that I know of in any of these programs. So there are a lot of questions to be answered. Every single organization that is involved in this at this time has staffing that is somewhat new to Catholic Social Services director from PEG from many years is gone. Parks and Rec, newer. PCOA has a new director. I'm just asking for some accountability. And I think that as a city, as a provider, I don't think, I know that as a provider, the city of Tucson is not only allowed, but I think is, it would be prudent of them to meet with PCOA. I know that when I spoke to mayor and council, and I'd be speaking to him again, that Paul Cunningham said that he would be speaking to PCOA. I just don't know if anybody even knows what the questions are to ask. I'm going to be quite honest. I really don't.
So, Robin, what I understand from the funding with the Older Americans Act, the Biden administration had extended it through 2024. And then right. The Trump administration has decided that they are going to reorganize the Older Americans Act into the HHS, which is the Home and Health.
Yes, right. Yeah, I know
Human Rights Services. And right. So based on that, that's where the funding has not necessarily dried up, but been reallocated.
It can't happen. It's against federal law. I mean, that's just not the way it happens. That money under the Older Americans Act is dedicated to certain budget lines. And number one, even just, thinking about that, I'm thinking that funding hadn't even hit that discussion. So believe me, I would love to say that this administration is responsible for this. That hasn't hit. That hasn't hit. So, I mean, I think it's just easy for people to believe, well, meals are costing $21. You know, all these programs are being cut. These are, it literally takes an act of Congress to change that funding in the Older Americans Act. You can't just take that money from the Older Americans Act and allocate it to something else. You can allocate it to other senior programs. And I understand that the state is always having to prioritize that. However, they would send a letter out in January or February to PCOA saying that that's happening. So the way this went down.
We don't necessarily disagree with you, Robin. I mean, we've been trying to engage with PCOA before Mark left. We've had some struggles with them for other reasons.
I understand.
And then Mark left and we didn't even know who the new executive director was for over a month. And then all of a sudden out of the blue, they want to meet and they told us what they told us. And we've been asking for a lot of answers and haven't been getting them. I can tell you that I have never reported to mayor and council anything about an $18 to $21 meal cost because we knew intrinsically the cost that PCOA was estimating was based on some of the in-kind. What I can tell you is that the general fund is now not going to be getting the money for the non-perm staff that were affiliated with PCOA at those particular locations, and those folks have had to be reassigned. Because if we didn't have somewhere to reassign them, then they were not going to have a job. And for the full-time positions, we've had to figure out what we're going to do. And I've had to come up with a dollar figure of what that impact to the general fund is. Because as I said, our budget was adopted and there is no money there to cover that cost. So we're navigating through what the outcomes of that are going to be.
Right.
So
when, and maybe this is a, and I appreciate that, and I understand exactly what you're telling me, and I understand that other providers have had issues. I understand that, believe me. I just want to know where the money is. And I know it's, it has nothing to do with the city, but as far as the Title III, the funding's still there. So, I mean, if you can't reimburse the staff, I get that. You can't just carry that cost.
Well, yeah, we're not getting the reimbursement anymore. Start as of this Friday, that's the last day that we are eligible for reimbursement for those locations.
Right. Well, and that's right. And that's why, and this is, okay, it's a couple of weeks, but maybe something could have been done. Why would these programs be cut before the end of the fiscal year if funds are allocated?
If I mentioned something, Robin, I agree with you 100%. Okay, we need to look at pennies. Okay, there's not a penny that should not be saved. I agree with you. But you're dealing with a funding structure that put USAID out of commission totally.
No.
Within a couple of weeks, you're talking billions of dollars. Okay, this is a new world out there. Okay,
I get that. And that's why people are buying this bag of crap. Because that is the new reality, but it's not the reality for this particular funding.
Well, you know, it doesn't stop, you know, older people from having to eat every day. I think correct. We'll agree on that. Okay. But we need to think differently. We need to think outside the box. Never mind the monies that were due. Okay. They're way past due because we're not going to get them. Okay. We need to think in terms of getting new monies, which are not going to be coming from the federal government. There's money out there. Okay. All we need to do is go get it. Again, we have, as Parks and Recreation Department, we have tools that we could use. I've mentioned a number of times, you know, the venture at Reed Park, okay, to get together with some promoters and get some revenue out of it. Okay, we could do it like I said before, some GoFundMe, you know, put some QR codes all over every park all over the city, get some money because we're not going to get that money. And I understand what you're saying. There's a Title VI, Title IV, Title IX. DC doesn't care what the title number is. They decided they're not going to give us any money. And that's it. Okay, we need
to
leave it.
PCOA has decided that. And I'm not sure that PCOA gets to decide that.
PCOA basically works on funding from the state. Is that correct?
PCOA,
I mean,
is federal funding that it is allocated through the state. So,
okay.
So they get
reimbursement through the state.
Right. Okay, so basically it's coming from DC. It was coming from DC. Okay, DC decided we're not giving you a penny anymore. They decided to go your way, your state, do your thing. Okay, this is the new reality. So, fine. Okay. We have to do it. Okay. We have to come up with fundraising morning, day and night, 24/7. That's the only way we're going to survive.
Right.
Okay.
How we've done this in the past when there's been threats to this where seniors can't eat is that we've worked with our county supervisors. We worked with our state representatives. We worked with, this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah,
we've worked with the United Way. We've worked with every advocate of older adults in the community to make sure it happened. This is the first time in the history of these funds that it was cut without any process to work with partners to come up with how we're going to continue. And again, Parks and Rec, you know, this is out of your hands, except for you're a very effective partner and you're definitely part of the solution. We are part of the solution. So
I'm
just saying that we don't, that this is not the end of this. I'm glad to hear there's some funding to keep it going. It's not sustainable. And that money is there. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, I will ask for it to be back on the agenda because hopefully we'll have more discussions with mayor and council, and hopefully we'll be able to sit down with PCOA and see line for line where that money is.
Well, you know, when there are wars, okay, people get funding together. They raise money. They raise money for the soldiers. They raise money for the hospital. They raise money for, you know, for the, you know, for ammunitions. That's what we need to do. Right now, we're pretty much at war with the federal government. They decided to drop that we should drop dead. So we're not going to let them. Okay. But we are the master of our own destiny. Okay. And again, like I said, we're going to call up everybody under the sun. You mentioned the, you know, United Way, wherever it is. Okay. We have to have, you know, banks of callers that they're going to call everybody under the sun and get some cash. Okay. The answer is cash. Okay.
We're not the answer is making sure that the older American money remains to support our elders, period.
Well, of course.
Can I make a suggestion that we just, you know, hold off on the rest of this, maybe write a letter to Mark Kelly and just we'll put this back on discussion. And then Laura has to be at another meeting by 5, and I'd like to finish this so that we can get her to her other meeting. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. We have reports, announcements. Do you have anything to report, Antonio?
Just yesterday was Dia de San Juan. I was not able to make it, but praying for rain this monsoon season. And that's fine.
Yes. Actually, we did get rain yesterday.
We did.
Did we?
We got rain here, too.
5 minutes worth.
It rained here yesterday.
Yes, it did. 5 minutes.
We got rain.
I don't know, but it rained here. Look at my car. It rained here.
It was hard enough for me to hear from my office.
Nice. That's good.
Yes.
Yay.
So I'm looking
it worked.
Maurice, do you have any announcements?
Well, not much. You know, the temporary value was out of telephone by CenturyLink for almost 10 days. I don't know if you guys realize what that means, but not very pretty. Anyway, we're back online, so everything's great. Everything's beautiful.
Good. Robin, do you have any announcements?
Becky, I think I've said enough. Thank you.
Okay, well, your hand's still up, so. High five. Manan, do you have any announcements?
Manana Nana.
Manana Nana, I know. That's my head. That's
Sesame Street. No announcements, but I am going to change my name now. Thanks.
I just want to say Quincy Douglas was a great event. I did learn something new.
Pit guards
have to be changed every 15 minutes. I did not realize that. So that was news to me. So that was good. And we had an awesome groundbreaking yesterday at Mission Manor. So I just want to thank everybody who made it possible. So thank you. And so that's it for our announcements. Unless Darren mysteriously has appeared. I do not see nothing. So staff announcements.
PJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I was first today. You're always first, TJ. Swim lessons has been blown out of the water. So far, we've had 1,493 kids in swimming lessons through this week, which is up. Last year, all summer, we had 1,600. And then the summer before that was 1,100. So we're at 1,493 right now. We currently have 798 in this two-week block. I don't want to steal Sarah's thunder either.
I said I have it written down right here. You stole it.
I stole her thunder. What thunder don't you have? Do you have swim team numbers?
No. Go with your thunder.
Swim team numbers. We have 246 kids on swim team, 107 in synchro, which is almost doubled. And then right now this week, we're finishing putting UV in Nadia Jane Baker splash pad, Catalina splash pad,
Clements's pool, Palaverde's pool didn't have UV. It was a secondary sanitizer. And we obviously opened Joaquin Murrieta. We broke ground in Mission Manor. And, yeah. How's that?
For parks maintenance, at Fort Lowell, the pony field, infield has been renovated. It looks awesome. Now we're working on the outfield. We're working on refreshing playground wood chips throughout the city. So a bit of a process, but we're getting through that. And, prepping for monsoon, prepping for hopefully some rain, not so much damage, but we'll see what we get. Otherwise, just working through summer. And I think last week was a little eye opening, of what summer's going to look like. So see when we get there.
All right, for recreation, I'll let Dean talk about our summer programs that kicked off in June.
One second, I think Larry's got to jump off. Do you want to do your report real quick?
Oh, sorry, but yeah, they're going to come into the room early. I just wanted to let everybody know two future topics that I'll bring for an agenda. The last commission mayor and council meeting, they did pass a no camping in parks. But does not go in effect for 30 days. And so right now we're in the process of working internally on how do we operationalize that. And that when I say internally, I'm not talking about the department, but more the city itself and our partners. The second item that's coming, that I'll be bringing to you, it looks like we're going to get some traction behind it. We're working with the city attorney's office on making splash pads and playgrounds official kid zones, which means if you don't have a child with you, you cannot be there to help us with some enforcement and prevention of what we have been seeing with the sleeping, the washing of clothes and splash pads. So those things are coming up. And so we'll be on a future agenda once we have the traction behind it. Okay. And I'm sorry with trying to make multiple things happen today, but I thank the team there for holding down the fort. Thank you all.
Thank you.
As far as the splash pads, any chance of letting little dogs go in there?
Doing what?
Splash pads.
Little dogs?
They're not allowed in there now.
They're not allowed in.
No, that's a Department of Health thing.
Health Department. I'm going
to drop off.
Bye, guys. And Wacky Tail Dog Park. Visitors.
That's nice. I did not know that.
You do. Hi, Aaron. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Like I said, Dean will touch on the summer programs and classes, but for June, we've had some Father Day events. Center programs are still providing activities for seniors. We have an open house on Monday at Armory. This is the little giveaway that I've been talking about the last couple months, so just in case you haven't stopped by an open house, that's a cool little water bottle with the City of Tucson Parks and Rec logo. That's all day Monday. In July, we'll have our Quincy Douglas open house. And then just the end of this fiscal year, we have some projects wrapping up, therapeutics. The rec center has some new windows. UDAL has a new staff workstation. El Rio has a new partition in their multipurpose room. El Pueblo and Archer are getting some new security features, some wrought iron fencing over some yards. And then Clements just got a garden shed. A shed for their garden, for some of their garden tools. So they're looking forward to those new features. And cooling centers, we still have one in each ward, so we have that available every day, including the holidays from 12 to 4, letting people get out of the heat.
As I say every time, we should have a cooling center in here. My goodness, what is going on? Anyway.
Being a warming center?
No, no. I mean, this could be the cooling center.
Oh.
So cold. I moved here. I want it to be warm. I digress. Summer Kid Co. rolling right along. 3 weeks in, we have some amazing sites and we have some challenging sites, and staff is doing an amazing job at all of them. There's a lot of kids and a lot of things going on, so I'm very happy. We will be starting month two here next week. So moving right along, everything's good and we'll keep it good. As for, I know that it was mentioned earlier about PCOA. I met with the mobile meals crew at Quincy Douglas right before this meeting. so we could lay out logistically when they deliver, how we're going to do it. So the Quincy Douglas staff is excited to have breakfast and lunch back, even if it is just for 2 months. So they're ready to go come next week, Monday. I was supposed to grab a calendar and announce what they're having. I know on Tuesdays they're having general so is chicken. So that's where I'll be going on Tuesdays for lunch because I think that's going to be delicious. So and I talked to the seniors that were there, and they're excited to have that back. So we're all good on that end. The bulk of spring baseball, softball rentals is coming to an end. So field are being released so we can give them to the maintenance team to make them wonderful again for when we start all over again in fall. And so it was one other thing, and my brain has completely forgot about it. So I apologize for that. But
summer explosion.
Oh, thank you. That was exactly it. Summer explosion at Kennedy on, as I say, 11th and 13th. There's no Friday 13th. July 11th. It'll be wonderful. It'll be a great experience out there at Kennedy. If you want to come, come early because it's a Friday and the roads are going to be super packed and it gets really hard to get in and out. But it's a great time. The kids have a great time. The parents have a great time. And it's a chance for the Summer KidCo kids to showcase themselves. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a great venue. One of the things I love about it is getting to see the sun, you know, set over the mountains, or what I call mountains, being a flatlander. So it's kind of awesome.
So is that the last day of KidCo?
No. It's the thing is Vail School District starts early, so we have to get it done before the kids that go to Vail leave summer camp. So it's early in the Summer KidCo, but it's late for the Vail kids, just so that everybody has an opportunity.
They start school on the 13th.
Yeah.
July
13th.
Yeah, so they're there. We get them in there. So it's midway through month number two, but that way everybody can participate.
Oh, that's good.
Something they can all look forward to.
It's in Kennedy Park?
Yes.
Yep.
At the amphitheater?
Yep.
Fiesta area.
Fiesta. Yeah.
Well, we call it the Fiesta area.
Yeah, it's called, yeah, but it's usually
off of La Jolla.
Where the stage is, yes.
Great.
We'll send you a flyer.
Are they ever able to fix the parking lot, or is it still?
Well, I'm going to say this. If you have an SUV, drive that there.
Don't drive your
Challenger. Just saying. I don't drive my Challenger in that parking lot.
Not faced today. The only other thunder we had that he didn't mention was that as of today, we had 2 more rescues for all of our pools across. So we're up to 28 rescues across the city for the first 25 days of summer. So we're killing it on the rescuing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. We're doing it. All right.
You're training them and they're doing what they're trained.
Yeah, they are trained.
We're at 100% success.
That's it. Yeah, what are you?
Oh my gosh. Bariana Paul Park, we're looking at a completion in mid-July. The building should be there by end of this week. The grand opening is scheduled for August 16th. Once the park is done, though, it will be available for public to use.
Wait, August 15th, not 16th?
16th.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. And what time?
I don't recall the time. Let me look it up.
I'll look it up when we get going.
Cool. Armory Park, we are currently reviewing bids, anticipating construction to begin late summer. It'll be a 10-month time period. It will not be a complete park closure, and we are coordinating with the special events team to make sure that the events that are scheduled in that area have either the space that we're not impacting them, or we'll figure out kind of how to accommodate those existing events.
The date for the permit.
I'm sorry?
Do you have the date set up for the permit yet?
The date for the construction to begin?
The permit for the authorization for the permit, for the building permit?
Yeah. We are fully permitted through Planning and Development Services for both the development plan and the building package.
Okay.
Yep.
In Bariana Paul, July 26th was a soft opening.
roughly around there. I don't have an exact date on that soft opening. We'll let people know through social media and announcements that
way. So you don't have the time either then?
I don't.
No. Okay.
No, and there won't be like a strict time that we soft open. Mm-hmm. It'll just be like, hey, this is now open. You can come enjoy it. And then we'll have like the formal party with the time and all of that on August 16th.
At 9 a.m.
9 a.m. So people have been asking me. And so it's like, I don't know. I'll find out today. It's like, so.
Yeah.
And if you could reach out to Ward 1, I mean, not Ward 1, but Thady Nepal. They're asking.
The Neighborhood Association?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
And this is when? Which day?
The, sorry, I can't write and talk at the same time. The grand opening celebration will be August 16th.
Okay.
At 9 a.m.
Okay, because the Amory Park Neighborhood Association.
This is Barrio Nepal.
This is Barrio Nepal, sorry. Talking about Barrio Nepal Park grand opening.
I'm sorry, which park?
Barrio Nepal Park. It's a new park. Yeah.
I thought you said Armory Park.
We switched back and forth.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's my mistake.
Well, have you had success with connecting with Barrio Nepal Park Neighbors Association?
Yeah. We were able to attend Alejandro Quiñones, who will be the park area supervisor for that park, and I were able to attend one of their meetings a couple months ago.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
That's it.
That's it. You're not reporting nothing?
I have nothing to report. Everybody that reports to me is reporting.
All right.
I have a quick question. Santa Rita Park, I read something that there was a question about a possible poll. Is that what's going on?
I don't think you want to clarify that. It's not about the pool. It's about the
bathhouse.
Yeah.
So there is a question around historical and social significance of the pool and bathhouse. We're currently investigating that. Don't have a complete conclusion at this point.
We had previously investigated it.
Right.
But we've been asked to do a little further investigation.
Right. Is there a possibility that the pool may come back? Not a chance.
My mother and father's first date was at Santa Rita Pool.
Okay.
This is how long ago that pool had been there.
Greg, I can help.
I wasn't born yet.
I say that because for those that don't know, she brought two photo albums in today, okay? So
that's about
that's where she knew that.
That's where she met it. Okay, so you had a future agenda item regarding, do we have, besides what Robin has on the future agenda items?
I think what I wrote down so far, okay. You sign clean and beautiful for trees.
Okay.
PCOA congregate meals. Then Lara added no camping in parks and our future kid zone as agenda items. So is there something above and beyond that I missed?
I think we were tabling the awards, and we tabled the history on parks.
Okay.
Okay, now I would suggest that we have a budget update, and budget committee update added to the agenda next time, and make it a...
So can I get a clarification on that? Because a budget update to me confuses me that it's about our budget. And we're giving you. So I think we want to change the title of that because I think it's a misleading title.
I think you want a fundraising update.
That makes like a better agenda item.
It would be a budget subcommittee update.
Okay.
/ fundraising.
Okay. Fundraising, yeah.
And I think it should be a recurring agenda item. And before we have the next meeting, we mentioned it before, time is of the essence. Okay, we need to get that, budget committee off the ground and working. Okay. So.
Robin, did you have your hand up?
I did, on purpose. Greg, could you just keep us updated on Amphi Park?
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks.
On the budget item, I remember this was brought up before, and there was formerly some kind of foundation that was set up in... Kind of,
right. Parks and Rec had a foundation.
And so without some kind of mechanism to collect the money, like a nonprofit. Is that even a viable conversation, or should the first conversation be like trying to get that foundation set back up again? Just have more of a constructive conversation, because it kind of feels like we're just saying the same things.
As part of the discussion for that agenda.
That's what it's going
to
be?
I think that's part of the discussion for that agenda item.
Okay. I would just like to be more constructive and specific to say, like, this meeting we should really talk about getting that foundation started up again, instead of just, like, saying the same stuff back and forth.
Right.
I don't feel like it's been very constructive and, you know.
Right. And so I think also we wanted the open meeting law city clerk.
Yep, I got that one, too.
Okay, good. Because before we do anything, we need to make sure we don't violate any policies or anything. Like, so I think it's going to be a full agenda next time. But we might not meet in July, right? Because it looks like July 23rd, you're all going somewhere. Or
in August.
So we are still meeting in July?
I mean, we can all go somewhere on the 23rd.
So July 23rd is our next meeting. And you all are going to be gone in August?
Majority of us.
Not everybody, but some, yes.
So are we, like, not going to meet in August?
Can we make a motion not to meet in August?
That's your call.
That would be, okay, is that a motion?
I'll make a motion to not meet in August.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We're not meeting in August.
I might be out of town on the 23rd.
Of July?
I might be. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Of July, yes.
Okay. So, are we good? Almost fine. We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Becca?
All second.
Thank you. All those in favor of saying goodbye? Say aye.
Bye. Bye. Goodbye.
Say bye.
Bye.
I have a question for Robin. Robin, have you heard that the best one is to?
So, how are you?
Oh, man, I feel sorry for Amanda. I'm going to say.
She's, why not? Yeah, my wife's office is somewhere. She's a spoiled listener directly. Oh, no. Sure, yeah, are you? Yeah.
Better than that.
What are yours?
Yeah,
it's the first day of school. I mean, it's the first day for us.